Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York. I'd like to tell you about a place at Maryville University, maryville.edu, for more information. Lovely campus, town and country. My friend Lonnie Folks is the athletic director. Their sports are unbelievable. It's an all-inclusive campus. Give it a shot, maryville.edu. Martin, you've been watching that outstanding show on HBO.
I finished a series before you guys. That never happens.
That actually is kind of an upset. Yeah.
Notable.
Usually you watch it, and then you wait 3 months before you watch the finale.
It is weird. I have not seen the finale to Breaking Bad. No spoiler alerts. It's been too long.
Are you serious?
It's the best one, yeah. Where the machine and... Oh,
Plaza's going to spoil
it's
it
fine.
For
you.
I just said machine.
I've read enough to understand. I mean, I'm assuming he's dead. I've heard enough about it. I need to go back and watch. But Big Little Lies, I watched the finale the night it happened, which was Sunday. Frank and Brian said, whoa, whoa, whoa. But now you guys have both seen the finale. Yeah.
By the way, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's how highly regarded
the series
is. Is
that a series finale or season finale?
The season finale. Season.
Oh, okay. It's coming back for sure because the last scene.
I didn't like it.
Was that? You didn't like it?
Too open-ended. Like it was a season finale to set up another season, and I hate those.
Okay, so let me just say this. Is last night at 11:30 after we turned it off. No, about midnight. I said to Monique, because this one guy, this one husband really screwed up, and then one of the women really just went nuts.
Didn't I tell you she had a scene?
Oh, my God.
Laura Dern.
That was good.
Yeah. And we can just talk about it. So she smashes.
Spoiler alert if you haven't watched it.
His.
Turn back in 10 minutes.
Train thing, which is worth, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and then smashes him with a baseball bat in his rib. And you know, and it's the guy has cheated on her with the nanny and then just made the whole family go bankrupt, too, with his bad financial ideas. I said to Monique, I said, now, would you actually do that to me? She says, you're damn right I would. I said, you're supposed to be a Christian. You read the Bible every day. She said, if you did that to me, I would do the exact same thing Laura Dern
did. No insider trading for Frank, then.
He lost all their money, lost all her money, but he was going to keep all of his toys and memorabilia. He had like a man cave. The house is empty. Clearly, everything had been repossessed except all of his toys. And then he was being kind of cocky on top of it. He did sleep with the nanny. There was a lot going on there, and she just let him have it. Started smashing everything. I think the women approval rating of that scene was probably over 100%. And it made the males a little nervous.
Boy, that was brutal.
Great scene. But I think overall, the critics, too, had pointed this out. That it was a little tidy in some way, the way it ended. Like almost a little cliche.
Yes.
Like everything kind of came together. But they definitely ended it with you thinking, all right, what's going to be next? Like a true cliffhanger. Now you got to wait months.
I hate those.
And very little was resolved. Well, I guess the one couple got back together. And he is really annoying. The husband of Reese Witherspoon, just kind of, and I said, everybody's either a dweeb or
he's just
a jerk.
Yeah. They're all, yeah, you're
None
right. Every male.
No male on that show is portrayed real well. So maybe we shouldn't be watching this with our wives. And they've advertised during that show for a Succession, and it looks like a big, powerful, rich family. Has anybody watched that show?
I've heard that's pretty good.
I watched season, I think there's a new season out. My problem with these shows that I binge watch is. 8 months later, they come out with a new season. I got to rewatch the last couple episodes.
Because you forget everything.
Yeah, I'm not going to give away any spoilers. I think I remember the end of that. But that's what happens to. Have you ever watched the Miss Maisel, the Marvelous Miss?
Oh, my
Miss
wife
Maisel?
Watches that. She's a Canadian.
It looks like a really chick flicky, so I was kind of weary about getting into it. It's unbelievable. It really is fantastic about a woman trying to get into
like
the
in
comedy
60s,
game. I think in the
Lenny
50s
Bruce.
Or 60s, Lenny Bruce is big and kind of where females aren't really. You know, headliners or even in comedy. It's really, really funny.
That lead actor, Brosnahan, is my good friend's sister.
Wow. Hey, yeah, look at the connection good. Here. Wow.
Know,
that's why we have an intern. That's great.
That's Hallie, the
Get
pride
the
of Althoff High School.
Get him on the show. Hey, this hour brought to you by Appliance Discounters. They have 7 area locations. You can get online. ThePplianceDiscounters.com. St. Charles, South County, Webster Groves, City of St. Louis, Maplewood, Richmond Heights. That's the newest location. And also in Fairview Heights, Illinois, GE, Frigidaire, LG, Samsung, all the biggest names at the lowest prices, theappliancediscounters.com. Stop by and see them, any of their seven area locations. All right, let's tee it up, guys. You ready? Five for Frank.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
In 2020, who's the Cubs manager? Make that bold prediction on July 24th.
It's not going to be Joe Maddon.
Don't you get that sense? It's a walk year. They're clearly.
I have an answer.
Ooh.
Girardi.
Ryan Sandberg.
That's good. No, Girardi is. I couldn't go against that. That's really good.
He's out there, former Cub from Chicago. Well, from Peoria. But
who
he's
else
lived
is
in Chicago.
In Theo's? I mean, he's not going to. He fired Francona eventually, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be a big namer. Theo likes the big name. Yeah. So.
I think Girardi's a good play. But does anybody believe that Joe Maddon's going to be the guy?
No.
It feels like that thing has been headed for a divorce, and they're not running. They're in first place, but they're not having a great year. And they basically said this is a huge year for them.
And Girardi could replace, what, 10, 12 managers in Major League Baseball right now? Maybe even more. So, I mean, he has, you know, a resume and credibility, and he's a nice guy. I think he's in line for a job next year anyway, so that'd be a good thing.
There are some critics in New York for his bullpen maneuvering, but I agree with Theo. It'll be a big name, something you can sell.
How about this? When Bochy gets out, David Bell's already in Cincinnati, and he would look like he was going to be the guy. And I wonder if San Francisco makes a run at Matheny and gets him out of the Kansas City because they like Matheny in San Francisco.
Do they? I mean, why do they like Matheny in San Francisco? Do they like him because they were managing in St. Louis?
They loved his incredible resume, first of all, and you can't deny that. Yeah. And they also loved the fact that they got to meet him and be with him when he was a catcher. And anybody who's ever been a teammate of Mike Matheny, regardless of what some people say, they always respected everything he stood for.
They don't seem to have anybody waiting in the wings, do they?
No.
I mean, because that staff has been together a long time, probably all close to retirement. It's an interesting thought. But the fact that everybody assumes Maddon is gone, isn't that crazy? I mean, that was 3 years ago, less than 3 years ago. They won the freaking World Series in Chicago. And it does seem the Joe Maddon honeymoon is over. By the way, my Joe Girardi story, he played here for one season, 2003. We went to the winter warm-up. Joel Goldberg and I were doing the legendary Foxhole program on 1380. And I'm talking to him over that weekend. I say, would you come on the show? And he said, I will at some point. Just give me the number. So I pull out my card and I give Joe Girardi the call-in line or whatever. And I totally forget about it. And it's about 2 months later. We're doing a show. And they said, oh, and the producer said, oh, yeah, Joe's on line one. We're talking about the Blues or something or the Rams. We're like, hey, Joe, what do you got today? And he says on the air, hi, this is Joe Girardi, the Cardinals catcher. He actually called. I just totally forgot about it. I thought, he'll never do it. And it was a couple months later, he just called in one day.
A couple months later?
Because we totally had forgotten. We even asked him to be on the show. He said, how you guys doing? Yeah, you wanted me to come on the show. He held onto the card and called in at one point. There's a guy you can count on, Frank.
Wow.
By the way, there were odds on BetDSI when Bochy announced that he was going to step down after the season on who will be the next manager for the San Francisco Giants. Matheny is third at plus 350. The favorite would be a worse hire. Matt Williams.
Oh, my gosh.
Plus 200, which was
a great player, but.
Yeah, maybe it was a smear campaign, but every story coming out of Washington after he was fired was that he was not a guy fit for that role.
Yeah.
Maybe Dusty, one more kick at the
Dusty,
can.
Plus 1,000. Eric Chavez, plus 250. Omar Vizquel, plus 500.
You'd make a pretty good old-timers team out of that.
You actually could. There's Lloyd McClendon, Barry Bonds, Joe Girardi, Will Clark, Carlos Beltran, plus 800. McGuire was plus 7,500.
McGuire.
See, I think
he would be a good manager,
yeah.
But he got out of the game. I mean, he probably got sick all the travel.
You know, it's amazing that after he left, the hitting in St. Louis has gone down a little bit. He was a terrific hitting coach. He really was. And he was accessible.
Yeah, he became very friendly, polite. Like, everything I would have never guessed, having covered him as a player.
I mean, this is strictly from a guy who didn't go to med school. But do you think part of it could be that you're off of that stuff?
Oh, for sure. I mean, one of the things they always talked about with the steroid use was people's behavior, sort of erratic, mood swings. I mean, I don't know. We can't diagnose it now, but a lot of those things would have applied to dealing with him when he was a player. All right, number two, you are Brett Cecil. John Mozeliak has basically said, don't worry about 2019. Are you happy or are you a little hurt? You don't really have to pitch if you don't want to, it sounds
like.
Yeah,
I think I'd just rather be in Florida.
So you're happy.
I don't need the stress. I can't get anybody out. I know that too. So
the $7.5 million is still coming in. I'm good.
That's unbelievable, too.
Has he told him? I mean, he told us that Brett can just kind of hang out and focus on next. It's only July. You're looking for left-handed relief. I mean, I think we all know the confidence level from us.
There's no relief in having Cecil on the mound.
It is kind of incredible because the Cardinals are usually very patient when it comes to trying to exercising internal options. Like, they'll wait and wait and wait for guys to come back. And with Cecil, let's try next April.
Carpal tunnel. And that was diagnosed like 3 months ago, wasn't it?
He had surgery back in April.
And it is weird because he was criticized in the past for playing too many video games.
Yes.
Yeah. I
wouldn't
can't
it be
deny
weird
that.
If the carpal tunnel is
connected? Monique had that surgery and she's already back in yoga class 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I told Monique, just focus on 2020. Frank, don't make him any dinners. It's fine. Just focus on next year. All right, number three, Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. More information at greenville.edu. The Blues team is basically the same next year. You good with that?
For now, but I think at the deadline, my dream scenario is Jake plays really well and gets some significant time in goal. And at the deadline, some team really gives you something really interesting, and there's your move.
And I think you're banking on, and the Cardinals have done this for years, you're banking on some of these guys to just sort of grow and be better. Sundquist, see more of him. Barbashev, get more out of him. And I guess a full season of Jordan Binnington, you're also banking on that you're a better team from day one.
Blues, by the way, over-under for next season for points. Would you care to guess?
Over-under. 94.
I'll say 95.
96 and a half. Based on...
Anybody higher?
Oh, yeah. Vegas, 100 and a half. Colorado, 98 and a half. Nashville, 97 and a half.
Washington,
Calgary, Dallas. This is just Western Conference I see now. Calgary, Dallas, and St. Louis tied at 96 and a half. With Winnipeg at 95 and a half. So you would project Colorado, Nashville to be better than the Blues in their division.
How about Chris Zimmerman yesterday saying they're going to have to stop selling season tickets, that they're going to cap it at 15,000? And I said, what's normal, 10 to 12? And he said, that's a good ballpark. But the season ticket demand is so, I think they just want to have some tickets out there available for people that can only afford one game here or there. But he said, we'll cap it at 15,000.
What were they last year? Did he say?
He just said 12? He said 10 to 12 is a good ballpark for a typical year for them, for season tickets.
Tampa, Toronto, and Boston projected to have more points in the East. Tampa over under 108.5.
Okay, so Brian, if you count teams from the East and the West, the Blues are seventh?
Four, five, six. Yeah, tied for seventh.
How about Stanley Cup odds?
It's not listed here. Let me see. It's a good question.
Teams have got...
just won the Stanley Cup, and now there's six teams better than you.
I agree. Seventh in the... that's a little tough, but, I mean, there's been some good players on the move. I mean, you had to really have a dominant little stretch there in the second half to make the playoffs. I think they're about fourth in the West. I think that'd be great.
Blues 16-1 odds to win the Stanley Cup. That is fifth. Tampa 6-1. Vegas 7-1. Toronto and Colorado tied at 10-1. Boston, the team they beat, 14-1 odds.
Colorado and Stan Kroenke getting a lot of love there.
All right, number four, a report online. I think it's STL Sports View. I should know the name of the site. They cover.
I don't think we need to give them the time of the
day. They had a report that said Carlos Martinez is only in the bullpen because his agent and Carlos are dictating the terms and saying he wants to remain in the bullpen because so many Dominican players have gone broke that he'll have a longer career in the bullpen. And I believe Randy Carricker immediately said, you'll make a blank ton of money if you're a starting pitcher.
No, all the money's in relief now, Martin.
Doesn't he have a $50 billion contract?
Yes.
Yeah, like, how do you go broke? What is he going
to... So they're saying that the report said that he would want to be in the bullpen to lengthen his career to make more money, but I think we would all say you'll make more money as a starting pitcher.
Well, can he go broke with that amount of money? Sure. There are plenty of examples of
Adrian
athletes.
Adrian Peterson have blown through $100 million.
Antoine Walker went through $100 million. It's happened before. But playing longer isn't necessarily the solution. It's getting sound financial advice and having a good person on your side who will take, as Frank, as you've mentioned, take just 10 of that million and just put it in a bank and say, never touch this. Let it compound.
Didn't Charles Barkley start his TV career to try to pay off some gambling debts? Probably. I mean, I know that worked out for him, but you have guys that have made – the Adrian Peterson thing is unbelievable. I mean,
and
he's
came
still
out today
playing.
That he's made over $100 million, but he owes
playing.
A bunch of people money. He's bankrupt.
Yeah, it's not like he's 50 or 60 to where he retired 15 years ago with no income. He's still getting NFL checks.
Well, how about somebody
checks?
Like Mark Brunell, too? Yeah. I mean – was Mark Brunell buying a lot of bling, you know, and the same cars?
Parties
he had
camels.
Bad business decisions. Yeah. I think he got into a car dealership that went completely under.
How do you
but to Carlos Martinez, if the agent is in fact involved, he could help him hide the money. Like save, instead of worrying about whether he's in the bullpen. So if that report is accurate, the agent is the one who should be saying, listen, he needs to be a starter, make more money. I'll make sure he doesn't blow all of his money.
And the worry about this is, has he already gone through most or all of it? Because it sounds like it sounds like they're already kind of in a financial crisis trying to think about their next big payday because he's kind of maybe blown irresponsibly through this first $50 million that he made in
his
career.
It's a really weird sort of report, but a lot of stuff with Carlos is a little different.
And I love Patrick Corbin is okay. He's not great. He's probably a 2 or 3. We'll give you a chance to win just about every time out. Signed a $140 million deal this past offseason. The best closer in baseball, whether it's Kimbrel or Chapman or whomever, will never touch that kind of contract on the open market.
That's why, like, when Trevor Rosenthal just had it going and it was like the perfect closer, and he kept saying every spring training, I want to be a starter. That's why. Because you got Mike Leake making $80 million freaking dollars, and he's probably, you know, at his best, a better pitcher than Mike Leake.
And that's what's sort of counter to the report. When I saw that, if I'm his agent, I say, you get him back in that starting rotation. I want the whole league to know for the next couple of years, this guy is a top-of-the-line starter, and we know what those guys get paid.
But you look at the market for top-of-the-line starters. I guess Keiko, Lanson, maybe not top-of-the-line guy, but probably in Carlos Martinez's range here outside of age. And it takes a while for some of those starters to sign. But the relievers seem to get picked up pretty quickly. Outside of a big-name closer making $10, $12 million, those guys seem to stay on the market a long time. I feel like Carlos would get a lot more interest, maybe more years attached if he stayed as a reliever rather than taking a gamble at a starter. I don't think he'd make more than $7 million, $8 million on the open market.
But you know what that agent should be doing? He should, like, shut his mouth and call Edward Jones and just get the American Mutual Fund, get a couple of really conservative funds, put that $50 million away so Carlos will never, ever be hurting for money.
And on top of all of this financial input, do we believe the Cardinals are letting the agent dictate the terms?
No.
I think that's the other part of it, that if they wanted him in the rotation and didn't need him as a closer, I think they would put him in the rotation. All right, number five, percentage on the theater that this would be. Is it 100% approval? Cardinals host a one-game wild card, and Max Scherzer's on the mound for the Nats.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that's the matchup that you want because of what might happen. But isn't that about as good a theater as you could get? One game wild card, it's here, and Max Scherzer's on the mound. Wouldn't that be pretty cool?
Yeah.
Except for it might be a one and done, right?
Yeah. You're not going to beat Max Scherzer in one game. Yeah. Wow.
So the best case scenario. Remember the analytics guy who told Jason Worth he should have hit a home run in that one situation instead of striking out? Tell the Cardinals, just go ahead and win the division.
There you go.
You probably don't want to play the Nats in a one game wild card. So you should probably just go ahead and win the division.
You'd rather, even if you won that wild card or made it to the division series, you'd rather face Atlanta than the Dodgers.
Yeah. And if you're Mike Shildt, John Mozeliak today, I offer you the wild card game. I'll give it to you at home even. Will you take that? I think absolutely
they
not.
Would, no?
Would you?
I think they would.
I'd roll the dice that I could win the division, wouldn't you? Since it's there. Would you take it today, Frank, if you're John Mozeliak? A one-game wild card at home.
Six for Frank.
Yeah.
Which means you're in the playoffs. Hosting. You would take it.
Absolutely. Because that means I'm finishing ahead of either the Cubs or the Brewers, and I'm beating out Arizona and San Francisco. Yeah, I'd take my chances.
You would take it.
Yep.
Hudson versus Scherzer. Get your tickets now. I think I'd have to roll the dice. Then again, I have been winning lately, just not getting paid. Chuck Marlowe yesterday joined us for a little bit.
He didn't bring your money.
Did you notice? I forgot about that. Still, he owes me
$10.
But I owe Johnny Lomax over here a 12-pack, so I'm trying to transfer the debt. Because Frank's moved those milkshakes around town a few times. I'm trying to steal that.
I forgot he didn't bring the money. He didn't even have an excuse.
Well, the other night he tried to pay me at work. He goes, oh, I owe you $10. And I said, I forgot. He pulled out his wallet. He said, I could have sworn I had a 10 in here.
Oh, God.
And I said, who does that? All right, fair. 5 for Frank, 6 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. Also, Schnucks, one of our great sponsors. Stop by for all the fresh fruit. Sugar Fire, now featured. All the name brands. Schnucks has their own ice cream, chips, great flavors. You know about the friendly stores in town. Stop by and see our friends in Warrington. We'll be back out on the road with Schnucks real soon. We'll keep you up to date with the Schnucks tour here on the Press Box.
Very nice. Let's see. If you get rid of Jake Allen, who's your backup? And please don't say Husso. Actually, I will. You know, you, first of all, you don't move Jake unless you have somebody in the organization who's really good, who you think can be a backup. Let's remember this. Jake Allen, what during the postseason, did he get out there for like 7 minutes? If you can get a piece that helps your top three lines for Jake Allen at the deadline, and you have somebody you're reasonably confident in that can play 3 minutes, I mean, I think you'd have to consider it.
And you also know even more about Jordan Binnington at that point, too.
You're not making any of these moves until you know Binnington's great and Husso's making progress. Frank, always pushing the Westminster Mafia storylines. No one wants Matheny as a manager, maybe as a bench coach. Yeah, I don't think he'll manage again. The guy who has a higher winning percentage than Joe Maddon, Tommy Lasorda, Jim Leland, Tony La Russa, and Whitey Herzog. No, you don't get second shots in baseball. They give them the guys that have winning percentages at about 32%. They don't give them the guys that have winning percentages of 555 and are respected around Major League Baseball. He'll get another shot. Now, granted, he wasn't perfect here, and at the end, he kind of blew it. But he will get another shot to be a manager.
It would be interesting if he didn't, and everybody in Kansas City says it's happening. But if he didn't, it would be sort of Mike Martz-esque with the resume, the win total, the percentage, and somehow not getting offered, and some of it would be personality-driven or conflict.
And getting to a championship and losing it.
Yes.
Like within,
Wouldn't that be interesting? I think he's getting the Kansas City job, but...
Does Joel Goldberg concur?
You know, I need to ask him about that.
Did you ask Matthew Leach?
Did you see that? Matthew Leach, former friend of the Press Box, still a friend of the Press Box.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Has really let his hair grow out, and Joel sends the picture last night and says, guess who? You could have given me 200 guesses. I would not have picked Matthew Leach, the Harvard grad.
And NASCAR fan. It's a rare combination.
Yeah, Harvard and NASCAR. That's a small listing, isn't it?
All right, before we go to break, quick word about the Gatesworth Finest in Senior Living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. The food is great. The activities are endless at the Gatesworth, 170 and Del Mar. We'll take a break. We're coming back with one of our great friends right after this.